I want you to take your Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter 5, if you would, please. Ephesians chapter 5. The title of tonight's sermon is this, A Healthy Marriage. A Healthy Marriage. Ephesians chapter number 5. Once you find Ephesians 5, I want you to find verse number 23. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 23. And then if you'll stand with me, Ephesians chapter 5, starting with verse number 23. I'm going to read out loud, and then you can follow along silently. The Bible says this, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it, even as it nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones." And let's pray. Father, bless us now. Take what's said tonight and enrich our families, enrich our church, and even our country. The revival needed in America is a personal one. And help us to be revived as individuals. But then may our homes, our families, get a dose of Christianity that will carry us to happiness and joy and success in life. Help us tonight, Father, to give our attention to the teaching of the Word of God, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. If you were listening as we were reading there from the book of Ephesians, you'll notice that God, he kept on talking about the relationship between the husband and the wife, and somehow the word body and our flesh, it just kept coming up. Well, you and I, we get to be a part of the body of Christ, and God wants the body of Christ to be healthy. Then you and I, God wants our physical bodies to be healthy. I asked one of our nurses if I could borrow a first aid kit, and in this kit there's all sorts of things in here. Boy, you've got cotton swabs and sterile gauze and tape and Band-Aids and just a little bit of everything. Boy, we've got scissors and just a little bit of everything in here. And well, what's this for? The things that are in that first aid kit, they're there to help keep a body healthy. God wants our bodies to be healthy. In the church, there are certain things that we do, and those things keep the body, the church, healthy. Well, I think there are things that, if you noticed, again, the comparison in the Bible, God was talking about the husband and wife, and the word body came up over and over again. I think we ought to work at keeping our marriages healthy. I am going to talk about that very thing. I want to talk to you about having a healthy marriage. And so the way I'm going to do it, since God was concerned that the church be healthy and God is concerned that our bodies be healthy, obviously then he compares the husband and wife to becoming one flesh, and there is a comparison to the body again. I'm going to make some points tonight about that body, if you will, called marriage and how we need to keep it healthy. And I'm going to do it, maybe a little twist off of the whole thought. I'm going to talk to you about the health of your marriage. So I'll do some comparison here to things that would cause the body to be unhealthy because God compares us to a body. I spend my life around spiritually ill or unhealthy people. Every marriage here, let me tell you something. There's no such thing as a perfect marriage. And that's because a man is a sinner and a woman's a sinner. And when you add a sinner to a sinner in a relationship, that doesn't turn out to be a perfect scenario. And so there's no such thing as a perfect marriage. And we all need some spiritual medicine from time to time. Those of you young people that are not married at this time, I want you to listen very carefully to what I say. Those of you that are single right now, listen very very carefully to what I say. You might say, well, I don't, right now I'm not a husband, I'm not a wife, but you could be someday, and you need to learn about how to do what you do. And to those of you that are married, listen very carefully and let God help your marriage. I'm going to be Dr. Owens tonight. I thought about calling myself Dr. Love, but if you'll listen to me, I want to give you some advice that will help your marriage to be healthy. Hey, and guess what? All the advice I give you tonight, it's all covered in your insurance. You say, well, what insurance? Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And so I can give you advice that will keep your marriage healthy. And when you get that, it's free. It's all provided by God. Now, listen. If you don't start doing the right thing for your marriage is going to get sicker, and it's going to get sicker. And you don't need your marriage, the body of your marriage, to be ill. You need it to be healthy. I'll use an X-ray machine tonight, but it's not ran by me. It's ran by the Holy Spirit of God. He has a way of looking through us and into us and helping us, and he sees things that we all may not see. I'll tell you something that happens in life. I think sometimes as I look in this first aid kit, there's some Band-Aids in here. I think sometimes we put Band-Aids on things and they needed a little more attention than that. I think sometimes we keep putting Band-Aids on wounds that need more than just a Band-Aid. I think that happens in relationships sometimes. I think something happens and we slap a Band-Aid on it, and it might have needed some stitches, and it might have needed a little cleaning out. So may I say to everybody here, we might need to maybe take some Band-Aids off tonight as we look at this thing of our marriage and its health, and we need to get we might need to clean that wound up a little bit and get it on its road to recovery. Now, I have to tell you that the best kind of medicine for your body is what we call preventative medicine. You treat your body right, it'll treat you right. And I think we all ought to be working on keeping ourselves healthy. Let's not let ourselves all end up in the emergency room of life continuously. And I have to tell you this also. You know, when you go to the doctor, he prescribes something. I have never, and there are nurses in here, I could ask any one of them, there are doctors in here, I could ask any one of them this question. Have you ever written a prescription that was for the husband and the wife both? And it said, Mr. and Mrs. Jones, take these pills. They don't do that, do they? It's always to Mrs. Jones, and then Mr. Jones gets his own prescription. If I were you, you take your pills, and you let your spouse take their pills, and I think what I'm telling you is, husbands, you fix you, and wives, you fix you. That's the best thing to do. If every husband would concentrate on getting himself fixed up, and every wife would concentrate on getting herself fixed up, if husbands would be husband healthy, and if wives would be wife healthy, you put the two together, you've got a better chance of having some health in that marriage. Now, I'm going to use some health-type illustrations to talk to us a little while about our marriages. For instance, I ask this question, are you a bleeder? Are you a bleeder? Psalm 119, verse 60 said, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Let me explain. When I was younger, I was diagnosed with a thing called Crohn's disease. And they decided they were going to help me with it some because I had some flare-ups. And they gave me some medicine to take. And they told me this. They said, when we give you this medicine, it's going to thin your blood. And so what you should do is be careful, because if you get cut and your blood is thin, you could bleed to death. Well, I worked at a machine shop. I have to tell you something. When you work at a machine shop, almost every day of your life, you cut yourself. But I was just all paranoid. And what happens is, if someone's a bleeder and that blood is thin, you can bleed out pretty quickly. They call people free bleeders. Now, let me explain something. Do you bleed too much? I meet people all the time. They can stretch out an argument for weeks. I mean, something happens in the marriage, and they can go on and on and on and on. If I were you, I'd be careful with your marriage. Don't be too much of a bleeder. Do you turn molehills into mountains? Now, there's an opposite there. Do we take little things and we work at it and we nag about it and nag about it and nag about it and bring it up again? And before long, that which could have been a small episode goes from one day to 2 days to 3 days to 4 days. Folks, look, sometimes you've just got to put some hurts behind you and go on. Sometimes we think far too much about things that we can't change anyway. So he or she lost it and said something very, very mean and very, very nasty. Did you know there's no way they can take those words back? But you just won't let it go. So you'll bleed out over that thing if you're not careful. There are people in here, you're still bleeding over something that happened 10 years ago, 15 years ago. I'll tell you a very quick story. Husband and wife that I knew, they were not really family to my wife and I, but we kind of considered them family. We were with them a lot, and but their marriage had taken a hit in their 20s. And at the age 80, they were still fussing over one topic that took place in their 20s. And I thought, how miserable. Why would anybody want to carry that for 60 plus years? That's silly. Are you a bleeder? The Bible said, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. What did God say? Well, let's try to heal up as quick as we can. I don't know, maybe some people like to hurt. I don't. I want to heal, I want to get past it, and I want to go on. So be careful that you're not a bleeder in marriage. Y'all ever heard the term scar tissue? I was talking with someone and just recently, and as we talked, they said, well, the doctor felt like there was an issue, and we went in there, and they said, there's no real new issue. It's the scar tissue that's causing you the problem. And that scar tissue builds up, and then it can become a problem. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:14, he that hardeneth his heart shall fall. Scar tissue is almost like a callus, if you will. And folks, let me tell you, in marriage, if a husband or wife, if they get hard, if they get calloused in their compassion toward one another, if they get calloused in their responses to one another, it's pretty hard to move someone that has become hard and calloused. Are you hard and are you so hard that all the issues in your marriage, they're all your mate's fault? Their husbands, your heart gets hard, so everything that goes wrong is your wife's fault. And then their wives that get hard in heart, they get calloused, if you will, or they have that scar tissue in life. And everything has to be, it's either the husband's fault or the wife's fault, but we don't take personal responsibility. Let me ask you this. Does it bother you when your mate cries? Say, no, not anymore. You probably have scar tissue. It doesn't matter to me if you've been married for 6 months or 60 years, when your mate's heart is broken, that ought to bother you. And you say, well, it doesn't anymore. Then you've become calloused, or there's scar tissue there. About what has your mate spoken to you over and over and over again? And it's something that needs to be worked on. It just doesn't bother you anymore. What happened? You've become calloused about it. Don't let that happen. Don't be a bleeder and let everything stretch out forever. Don't get calloused to where you're not sensitive and tender anymore. Do you know why God gave us marriage? God gave us marriage, and it was His way to keep us from fighting with people we don't know. He tells us to love our neighbor. Thirdly, hey, is something broken? Well, nothing like a broken bone. Is there something broken in your relationship? The Bible says in Psalm 147, verse number 3, it says, He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Now, if there's something broken in your marriage, let me tell you, it can be fixed. God has a way of healing it. Now, again, I'm not a part of the medical profession, but this is what I'm told. If a bone breaks and then it goes to healing, that bone in its healing will heal and will virtually overcompensate for the healing. And so the bone heals, and then it heals a little more. Matter of fact, it heals sometimes bigger and stronger than the bone was originally. And most of the time, you don't break a bone in the identical spot twice because the body compensates for that weakness. So if I could give you some encouraging advice, if your marriage has been broken in an area, if you will heal it, there will be so much that could be learned in that area that the spiritual learning could compensate and heal. You don't have to be broken in that area ever again. But you're supposed to be learning from it. Let the brokenness in your marriage result in some blessing. And let me tell you something. There is no marriage that is broken beyond the great physician's ability. You and I, we're pretty limited. There are things I can't do. There are things that you can't do. But there's nothing that God can't do. And so God can heal what's broken. You see, God compares the marriage to a body. And if He compares the marriage to a body, then God wants our body healthy. So I think God wants our marriages healthy. Be careful, you're not a bleeder. Don't let all those fusses and those hurts just go on and forever. Watch out for the scar tissue. Watch out for that callousness. Watch out if something's broken, and don't give up on it. And learn from the brokenness, and let the spiritual growth compensate and become stronger in that area, maybe than ever before. Hey, maybe you need antibiotics. The Bible says in Psalm 17:4, by the word of thy lips I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Here, God uses the word of God as a solution to what ails us. The word of God is our medicine for our sin-sick soul. The word of God is like an antibiotic. It fights the disease of sin and bad attitude that's in us. So I recommend something to all of you. Remember, I'm Dr. Love. I would recommend there's some of you, you ought to be memorizing some scripture on the subject of marriage. You say, why? The Bible says, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. And if you would like to have a stronger marriage, get the antibiotic of the word of God involved in your marriage. Look up some scriptures about marriage. And you look up the scripture that kind of knocked you in the head about your weakness in your marriage. And memorize it. I wasn't wanting you to memorize a scripture to throw at your wife every time. I'm thinking of you memorizing a scripture that's good for you. Why? Because thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. God wants us to put the word of God in because it's an antibiotic. It will fight the disease. It will fight the corruption in our bodies. I think this, boy, if you hear good preaching on marriage, get a copy of the CD and listen to it again. Read books written by good, fundamental King James Bible people on the subject of marriage. It will help you. Study the Bible about marriage. Take the antibiotic. Show up at church. That's a part of the antibiotic. Let your marriage be biblically based. Folks, what the world does in marriage is not what God wants us to do. And if you want your marriage to be healthy, you need the antibiotic. The antibiotic is the Word of God. It's the preaching of the Word of God. It's the house of God. So keep your marriage where the antibiotics are available. And so, let's make sure we don't bleed. Let's make sure that we're not calloused the scar tissue. Let's have faith that that which is broken can be healed. Take the antibiotic when it's needed. Sometimes if someone's not well, they wire their mouth shut. I had a friend playing football. The guy that came across the line brought his arms up and broke my friend's jaw in a couple of places. And they had to wire his mouth shut for a while. So in other words, the wiring of a mouth shut can help heal something that's not well. Y'all like where this is going? In Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 18, it says, the tongue of the wise is in the tongue of the wise is health. The Bible says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Folks, rudeness in your marriage with your mouth will poison your marriage. And I think sometimes to get health in your marriage, you just need to keep your mouth shut. Some of you are way too loud. The screaming and the yelling. When you pick a place to live, if it needs to be in the middle of an acre field because of your violent temper and you don't want the neighbors to hear, isn't it sad that you had to buy your real estate independent of people because of your testimony in your mouth? Could you live in an apartment with people right beside you? Say, I could, but they wouldn't like it. You know, the Bible says a soft answer turneth away wrath. But grievous words stir up anger. And you know what will happen if you're not careful in your marriage? People that are good people, if you're not careful, if you let your marriage get out of hand too much, it won't only be yelling and screaming. You'll be cussing at each other. You'll be calling each other names. All the complaining, all the threatening. And I have to tell you this, I've learned through thousands of marital counseling appointments, sometimes the teasing gets out of hand. To where at first it was gentle and sweet and kind of fun, and then it became digs, and then it became real, and then it became vicious. And the repetition of the same dig over and over and over again with a raised eyebrow and a little grin on the face where you said, we're just joking, but your mate thought, no, you're not joking. That's how you feel about me. I think sometimes we just need to wire our mouth shut, like my buddy had his mouth shut because of an injury. Did you know that in our homes and in our marriages, it's still right to say thank you? And please? Try this. I'm sorry. Or, forgive me. You men, you need to be careful. You say, I was just giving my wife a piece of my mind. I'd be careful. You didn't have a whole lot to start with. Hey, and there's something that I have found out, and I don't mean this to seem smart, but what happens is if mom and dad are yelling and screaming and their exchanges are just like that, and then they wonder why the kids in the home treat each other that way, why, how could my son or my daughter scream at mom or dad? I think it's wrong. Kids, I don't think you ought to raise your voice at mom and dad, and I don't think you ought to raise your voice at your brother or your sister. But is it possible that they watched that behavior? You say, well, they shouldn't be like me. I know, they ought to be like Jesus. But I'm just telling you, did you know they do watch and they are listening? And they're liable to pick up some bad habits there. And if you want your marriage healthy, you might need to get your mouth wired shut. Oh, I hate the word cancer, but let me tell you something. You can get cancer in your body. And you know what happens with cancer? It usually starts out small and then it spreads. Can I recommend to everybody here that you be careful not to let cancerous attitudes enter your marriage? In the body of your marriage, because it will bring poor health very quickly. Is there one little thing that sets off a chain reaction? Let me tell you one of those things. It's a lack of forgiveness. If you're not careful, lack of forgiveness, it starts small and then it begins to build and build and build and build. Bitterness is that way. There are people that are bitter. They won't get over it. They don't want to get over it. And that bitterness, it builds like a cancer. Feeling cheated is that way. It starts small and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Hey, is there something eating away at your marriage? Most marriages are not destroyed because of one big episode or one big thing. Most marriages are destroyed because of a series of little things all added together and they become one big mess. So what am I saying? Let's take care of those little things right away. You see, God compared our marriage to a body. We've got to be careful that we're not bleeders. We've got to be careful of the callous scar tissue. If something's broken, let's compensate in its healing and become strong in that area. Take the antibiotics of the Word of God and then hear the preaching and read your Bibles and memorize Scripture. Sometimes we just need to learn to keep our mouth shut. Don't let cancer start small and build and overwhelm. I do not like the idea of getting stitches. I've had stitches. I tore my hand open, and they had to put all sorts of stitches in my hand. And what they were trying to do is the stitches were there to hold me together until I could heal. The stitches were not intended to be there forever, even though Frankenstein kept his forever. The rest of the human race gets the stitches, and then they go away. Some of you need to hold it together. Hold it together while you heal. That's what your vows were for. I want you to stay together because you love each other. I want you to stay together because it's good. I want you to stay together because it's pleasant. I want you to stay together because it's happy. But if all those things are not true, did you know something? You said you would stay together. You said for better, for worse. Now, do you think we were all just playing a make-believe Barbie and Ken game of marriage when we said for better or for worse? Now, the whole reason we said that is somebody had the sense to know it could get worse. And when you made a vow and you said for sickness and in health, obviously we all thought it would be health. But I'll tell you what, that sickness thing creeps up on you. And then in poverty or wealth, well, the wealth part didn't last long. That became real quick. And you get married. What are you going to live on? We're going to live on love. I'll tell you what, buddy. Love does not taste like you think it would. You got to have food to eat. But I would say most everybody under the sound of my voice that are married, you took some vows. Those vows are to hold you together. To the young people, when you get married, I'll tell you something you need to be careful of. Don't marry a liar. You say, why? Well, when they take their vows, if they're a liar, they won't keep their vows. When my wife married me, I wanted her to marry an honest man. And I said, for better, for worse, for richer, poor, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. I meant that. So when we don't have money and we're sick and it's not going so well, those things hold me together. And you know what happens? We work our way through the healing. We get past some of the poverty, we get past some of the sickness, and we get past some of the negatives of life. And so those things hold me together until I have healing. And so you all know, anybody can handle for better. Anybody can handle the financial prosperity. Anybody can handle health. Those are the easy ones. The challenge comes when it's not going so well. You hear about the guy who's... Someone said, I'm so sorry to hear your wife ran away with your chauffeur. And the man said, that's okay. He wasn't a very good driver anyway. Look, hold it together. And I'm almost done. But let me tell you this. If there's something I've learned about healing and marriages and health. Did you know that recovery times vary? Psalm 147, verse number 3 says, He healeth the broken heart. Not everybody heals the same and in the same way. Can I say to everyone, sometimes you need to give yourself time to heal. Sometimes you need to give your mate time to heal. And maybe this is not always true. It's my experience with emotions, that ladies' emotions heal a little slower than men's do. And I don't know if that's because us men are lunkheads or what. You know, men, there's a fuss. They want to say, I'm sorry, and then we're lovey-dovey and it's all over. And a lady's thinking, it is not all over. But I apologize. I know, but I'm going to settle that apology for a little while, buddy. That ladies, hey, and thank God for ladies. Their emotions run deep. They love very, very deeply. But men and women don't usually heal with the same expediency. And Mrs. Owens and I can get in a fuss, and I thought it was over, but it wasn't. And we needed to settle on that thing for a little while. And there have been times she said to me, just wait a little while. I thought we were all okay. We are. Just wait a little while. I'm thinking... Men, you'll spend part of your life going, But not everybody heals the same rate, in the same way, but everybody can heal. There are, We have to be careful. Let me tell you something about healing. And here's where some of you make a mistake. If you pick at the scab, you'll bleed again. Something that was healing, and you get to picking, if you pull that scab off, it will bleed, and it can get just as infected. And by the way, it can become an even worse wound if you're not careful than what it was originally, because you pick at it. You've got to let your mate heal, and you've got to heal along with them. I'm going to say one last thing, and we'll be done. You know, there are a lot of diseases and situations that are contagious. There's a lot of contagious diseases out there. Now, let me give you some advice. If your marriage is struggling, I'd be careful spending a lot of time around people whose marriages are struggling. I'm not saying don't love them. I'm just saying if your marriage is struggling, spending a bunch of time around people whose marriages are struggling, usually two sick people don't make each other better. That usually does not work. Ladies, if you're miserable in your marriage, don't be speaking all the time on Facebook with somebody who's miserable in their marriage. You are not doing yourself a favor. Now, again, I don't say this to be mean, but let me tell you, our children are watching our marriages. And whether we're sitting down at a chalkboard or not, trying to teach them how to be married, they are taking mental notes. Every husband in here, your kids are watching you be a husband. And every wife in here, your kids are watching you be a wife. I think in the world it's far more prominent than it is in Christianity, but do you realize how many people in the world, whatever their bad habits are the identical bad habits that their children end up with? In Christianity, we have a little more the potential of overcoming that. Sigmund Freud wanted to convince us all that we were the product of our environment. Well, I've got news for you. Salvation can turn that thing all the way around. You do not have to be a product of your environment. You can be a product of a born-again experience with Jesus Christ and turn everything around. So Freud's full of berries. But, you know, I'll tell you what, though, in the world, whatever goes on in the home so many times is what goes on in the next generation's home. But in Christianity, it happens some, too. Listen, husbands, let's teach our sons the right way to be husbands. And moms, let's teach our daughters the right way to be wives. Bad marriages have some contagiousness to them. You spend a bunch of time around people that are unhappily married, watch out, you may end up unhappily married and you didn't even know it before you started running around with those people. You know that not everything that your spouse, not everything you hear someone say about or to their spouse is right. There are people that make shots at their spouses and they think it's funny. I'm not sure you ought to repeat everything that you hear and do everything that someone else does. But let's be careful. Did you know just as much as sick marriages, if we're not careful, could be passed down to the next generation, so could healthy. Boy, if we will show people the healthy way to live, the next generation has the opportunity to have healthy marriages. In the book of Ephesians, when you start at verse 22, you read all the way down to verse 23 to 25, you hear God comparing marriage and He keeps talking about the body. And He wants that body to be healthy. I could go on for the next hour and make applications about the body's health and how we ought to be healthy and cautious of the diseases, if you will, that can creep in to our relationships. I call the sermon A Healthy Marriage. Now, you think through your marriage, and every husband, you take your medicine. And every wife, you take your medicine. And I, as I counsel, there's one thing I do when I do marital counseling. I always say to the husband, I say, listen, you and I, we're not going to change your wife, but we can change you. I say to every wife, you and I, we're not going to change your husband, but we can change you. The best way to help your marriage is that every husband, you become what you're supposed to be for God and for your spouse. And every wife, you become what you're supposed to be for God and your spouse. You put those two together, now you're on your way to success. But you spending all your time letting your spouse and everybody else know what they're supposed to change, you don't have the power to change them anyway. There's only one person you have the power to change. That's you. And if you're like me, I pretty well have my hands full with me. You've heard it before when you're pointing your finger at someone and you got three or four pointing back at you. And so I have my hands full with me. I think you have your hands full with you. And, you know, I don't believe marriage is a 50-50 thing. I really believe marriage is 100% by both. But did you know that if marriage was 50-50, I think if I couldn't have 100%, I'd want to make sure my 50% was healthy. Let it be that if there's not health in your marriage, that it's not your fault. You be as healthy for your marriage as you can be. If you're not saved tonight, I recommend salvation to you. Boy, there's nothing better for a marriage than a good old dose of salvation. That will make a difference. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I realize, again, I have kind of specialized in speaking to the married people, but the young people, those of you that are unmarried, if you've listened tonight, you've picked up some very practical applications in understanding the health of a Christian, the health of relationships. My first question is this: are you saved? Are you born again? Is there anybody here tonight that would say, Pastor, I'm not saved. If I died tonight, I don't know for a fact I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. I'm not saved. Would you raise your hand and I'll pray for you? Anyone like that? All right. To those of you that are married, let me ask and just take a moment and single the married people out for a second. This whole sermon has been basically for you. Are there married people tonight that would say, Pastor, thank you, God, I kind of need to push the reset button in a couple of areas. I could see where my marriage could be healthier. And, you know, some of those illnesses or those detriments to health, I could see how they could affect me and my marriage. And God spoke into my heart, and I'm going to work at making my marriage healthier. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? Sure. Hands all over the place. You may put your hands down. In a second, we'll have an altar call. If you need the altar, feel free to come. Young people, I would recommend to you, even at your age, I know you're not married, many of you, grade school, high school, you just be listening when you're taught about the subject of marriage. It's a big deal. It's a big relationship in life, and you have to learn how to do it and for it to be healthy. We'll have an altar call. I'll ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. Are you a bleeder? You go on and on and on. Still bleeding over something that happened 10 years ago. Boy, I'd recommend some healing there. Let's get past it. Is there scar tissue? Are you calloused and hard? Is there something broken? You say it's broken and it'll never be healed. Oh, no, God can heal it. Matter of fact, you can heal and compensate in healing and really never have a major problem in that area again. Hey, you need some antibiotic, you need some preaching, you need to memorize some scripture and get the Bible more involved in your marriage. You need to wire your mouth shut. You need to watch what you say, how you say it, who you say it to. Have you let some little cancer begin to eat away, starting small, but it's escalating? The stitches, what do? They hold things together so they have a chance to heal. Some of you need to think back to your vows and just keep them. Give people time to recover. Recovery time for everybody, it varies. And remember, bad marriages, just like good marriages, can have a contagiousness to them. Continues to play. why you've all heard it said before. Our nation is going to be no stronger than our churches, but our churches are going to be no stronger than the families, and the families are going to be no stronger than the marriages. And if I could take one more step back, your marriage is going to be no stronger than you as an individual. It takes two revivals in one marriage to get it right. There needs to be a husband revival and a wife revival. Then you can have the revival. You ought to at least have your part. This is the last time through the song. And if you'll all just remain standing.